Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. You know, among the happiest times at church are when we have a baptism. Usually that's a baby, but it can also be children, teenagers, grown-ups, even the elderly. Whoever it is, baptism is always a happy occasion, filled with hope, new life, new connections, and more than a few smiles. You know you've been there. You've seen it, and you've been part of it yourself. At First Presbyterian Church of Littleton, and for most Christian traditions, baptism is the gateway into the family of families, the church. And we're all heirs to this exciting sacrament, where God reveals to us who we are in his eyes, who he made each of us to be and to become. And that revealing was set in motion when Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist in the River Jordan. Now, John knew that his role in God's plan was to prepare people to know and follow Jesus. So John went out into the arid countryside beyond Jerusalem and began talking about the need for people to turn from some of the crazy, wrong-headed things they'd been doing, be baptized, and live new lives. Word carried fast and far, for Scripture tells us this. Everyone flocked to John the Baptizer from Jerusalem, Judea, and the Jordan Valley, and they were baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. John tells everyone that the baptism which he provides is just the beginning, and that one is coming who is greater than he and will do even more for the people. And then that one shows up on John's doorstep and has a very odd request, at least to John's ears. Let's hear it now as it's recorded in the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus then appeared, arriving at the Jordan River from Galilee. He wanted John to baptize him. John objected. "I'm the one who needs to be baptized, not you." But Jesus insisted, "Do it. God's work, putting things right all these centuries, it's coming together right now in this baptism." So John did it. That moment that Jesus came out of the baptismal waters, the skies opened up and he saw God's Spirit, it looked like a dove, descending and landing on him, and along with the Spirit, a voice. "This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life." Did you notice in that passage how Jesus went to John? Jesus could have insisted that John come to him. But no, Jesus is doing something new. Fully human, fully divine, Jesus humbly joined God's work in progress and told John that he too was part of that work in progress. But when Jesus asked John to baptize him like he'd baptized so many others, what is John's response? He objected, I can't do that. I can't do that, that's not right. Certainly, I'm not worthy of such high calling. We hear John's self-doubt that he doesn't have what it takes to become more involved in God's plan. And Jesus hears John's doubt and gently but firmly insists that this is what needs to be done. This is what God wants done. And John realizes that his role is more than what he first thought. Jesus says to John simply, do it. Adding these few words to help John understand that it's all part of God's plan to reconcile the world. Again, in Jesus' words, do it. God's work, putting things right in all these centuries, is coming together right now in this baptism. So John immersed Jesus in the Jordan River, baptizing him as he had baptized so many others. But this time, something amazing happened. As Jesus resurfaced, soaking wet from the river water, something happened that tells us not only who Jesus is to God, but who we are to God as followers of Jesus. The skies opened up, and he saw God's Spirit. It looked like a dove descending and landing on him, and along with the Spirit, a voice. This is my Son, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. God used John's reluctant but obedient action and seized the occasion of John's baptism, of Jesus' baptism, excuse me, to affirm who Jesus really is. So it is with our baptisms. The heavens open up as seen in the wide open faces and smiles of family and friends. And what God says at Jesus' baptism, he says at each of ours, this is my child, chosen and marked by my love, delight of my life. Perhaps that's the real epiphany today, realizing who we are to God and how that impacts how we live. Now, I don't know about you, but I had to search to find my baptism certificate. And maybe at the start of this year, it will be helpful for you as it has been helpful for me in these early days of 2018 to dig out your baptism certificate. Mine turned out to be not a single piece of paper, but a quaint little booklet filled with old-fashioned illustrations and Bible verses. And then towards the back was the page with my baptism information. It showed that while I was born in Abbeville, Louisiana, I did know that. I was baptized in Emporia, Kansas. The baptism date is December 29th. So I imagine that my family was visiting family in Emporia for Christmas, and I was baptized as part of that visit. I was 2 months old. My sponsors, as they were called then, were my mother's sister, Lois Pearson, still her maiden name, not yet married, no vestiges of the 5 children and the 2 sets of twins to come, and my daddy's parents, Mr. and Mrs. E.V. Parsons. I could still feel the embossed seal of St. Mary's Lutheran Church, and I wondered if that was the church where my older brother, 3 years earlier, was baptized. And I wondered if it had been the church where my parents were married. A pastor who I never knew, by the name of Willard W. Alexander, officiated. I don't know if anyone present had an epiphany around my baptism back then, but what I do know now, and didn't realize for years, is that as a result of my baptism, I am chosen and marked by God's love and the light of God's life. Even though I forgot and others around me forgot, God never forgot. Whether we are baptized as babies, children, teenagers, grown-ups, elderly, we are all in the same boat when it comes to one key problem with baptism. Soon after we are baptized, the baptismal waters dry up, and it seems that our sense of epiphany evaporates with it, washing away the old, bringing in the new. Where did that go? When the water dries, it's easy to forget that we are marked by God's love and the delight of God's life. When the water dries, we can feel dried up ourselves. We can start feeling estranged, disconnected, and fearful of being in charge, responsible for so much on our plate. But God has a remedy. His remedy for our drying out is for us to remember our baptism and to celebrate the epiphany of God identifying us forever as his children, marked by his love and the delight of his life. The truth is that baptism is not a once and over event. It's a once and continual way of living, a way of living where we stay true to our baptism by keeping ourselves from drying out, living with a clear sense of who we are to God, and how that identity impacts how we live. Because like John, along with our baptism, God has a plan for us. He has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. God desires that all of us do all we can to keep the message of reconciliation flowing. The message of reconciliation you heard in what Blythe read was Jesus's main message And so as Christians, it is our main message. Our baptisms make us new creations in Christ. The old is washed away, the new has come. And as new creations, God entrusts us to carry out this work of reconciliation, which he set in motion in Christ. 2 Corinthians reinforces this by telling us, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. Me, you, all Christians everywhere, in St. Mary's Church in Emporia, Kansas, and in First Presbyterian Church of Littleton, Colorado, we're all entrusted by God with the ministry of reconciliation. And you have to know that nobody entrusts anyone with something that they know they cannot do. God entrusts us with the ministry of reconciliation because he knows it's a ministry that is in good hands with us. So whether you want to call it mending fences or restoring friendly relations, making peace, kissing and making up, or burying the hatchet, the ministry of reconciliation is ours through our baptism. We may push back, as John the Baptist did, doubting that we have what it takes, fearing what it might mean to get more deeply involved. But if you hear nothing else this morning, I pray you will hear this. It comes from an epiphany that God gave to me several years ago and meant for me to continue to share it with everyone with ears to hear. It is like many of God's epiphanies, simple. Are you ready? You have what it takes, because all that is required is all that you have. Let me say it again. You have what it takes, because all that is required is all that you have. You have been called and entrusted by the God who chooses you, marks you with his love, and delights in you. So as we move into the season of Epiphany, let us remember the truth God reveals to us in baptism and get wet again.